Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Trev Stone Show, where I go one-on-one with different athletes, musicians, comedians, entertainers, gamers, and celebrities. If you've followed Pro Sports Extra since day one, you will definitely remember tonight's guest. But before we go live with him, I need you to do me a favor. On top of leaving 5 stars on this, subscribing, and listening to the past podcast with pro wrestler Dylan Bostic, will you please do me a favor? Go to the fridge, grab a beer, light up your bong, and chill for the next half hour because you do not want to miss tonight's guest. But before we go live with them, we got a quick introduction, and then he'll be right here.
Training facility to the field with ability. Athletes are working hard, the progression is stressing. People are set, some of the passing. It's the smell of the grass and the pain and the action, the focus, the passion, the thought of the plaque and a trophy all made out to your name. It's the money, it's the fame, it's the feeling to get when you're playing in the game. What's the number on your back and the representative name? It's MJ playing way back in the day. It's the glory, the scoring. This is a story. This is Sports Nation. It's been this way for generations. Pro Sports Extra is where I get my information. Athletes with their pursuits and endeavors. Sports will entertain the whole world. It'll be this way forever. And for more of that, we going live to Trevor the Expert.
What's going on, guys? Thank you for listening in. It is Tuesday, June 25th, as we're recording this. If you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio, thank you for listening in. If not, you can listen to this entire podcast on a bunch of different platforms. The Apple iTunes Store, this will be uploaded to YouTube right after it's recorded. Tonight's guest is one special guest. I'm very excited. He was actually my first ever guest, like, in 2010, 2011, when I first started podcasting. Right now, I'm waiting for him to call in. He'll be calling in within the next 2 minutes. But a little bit about what's coming up for Pro Sports Extra. Right now, we're actually, last month was the biggest month we've had ever. And I've been doing this since 2010, 2011. So we're growing, and I want to say thank you for that. Thank you for the listeners. And, yeah, it really, really means a lot that you're tuning into these podcasts, that you're leaving feedback. And if you're not leaving feedback, go leave some feedback. Leave 5 stars. And also, once you leave 5 stars, you can feel free to rip me a little bit in the comments. Feel free to talk about what guest you want. But tonight's guest is someone that I'm really, really looking forward to, and I appreciate you guys for tuning into this podcast. I owe tonight's guest a proper introduction. He honestly doesn't realize it, but he kind of changed my life. He was my first ever podcast guest back in 2011. He was also my first Twitter follower back then also, and when I say back then, I was like 12 years old then, so this guy honestly was someone that I looked up to. He's a stand-up dude. In 2010, he had a 105-yard kickoff return for a touchdown for the Detroit Lions. He's also played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's played in the CFL for the BC Lions and currently plays for Montreal. I'd like to welcome back onto the show one badass, Stefan Logan. How's it going, bro? Thank you for jumping on.
Hey, everything good. How y'all doing, man? I appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate you jumping on. How have you been, man? You're currently in the middle of a CFL season, right? What year is this for you?
This year 13 for me. I'm up here in Canada. I play for the Montreal Alouettes. Everything is going good, man. I'm just enjoying it. It's my last year playing football, so I just want to finish this last year strong and move on to the next phase.
So this is officially the last year. Do you have any certain goals that you want to accomplish this last year, seeing it is your final season?
I don't really set goals for myself now. I just go out there each
right.
and every day and give it my all, and I love the game of football. But, after a while, it's not that you have to retire or you need to retire. You just want to do something else. You know, I've been playing football
right.
for a long time. And one of the great quarterbacks up here, Anthony Calvillo, he said in a meeting one day, he said, when you hit 10 years, he said anything after that is just a bonus. So This year 13 for me, I mean, I've had a great career. I've been enjoying myself and loving football. But, you know, after this year, man, I'm ready to hang it up and see what the great man upstairs have for the next phase for me to do.
Right. Right now, do you have any plans? Do you, like, have any, like, entrepreneurial type of wants or anything like that? Or are you just going to play it out and see how it goes?
Well, you know, everybody that played football for a long time, you know, the first thing they want to do is give back to, you know, everything that you've learned and back on the football field. So, I think, you know, for me, you know, I want to be a coach, you know, I want to be a head coach or a GM because, you know, as long as I've been playing, you know, I've got a chance to understand and really analyze the game. So I just want to give back to all the football players that's coming up in the years to come.
Right, so I'm going to kind of go back a little bit. We're talking about, you know, the later half of your career right now. Let's go back. Let's go back to day one. What, you know, what was Stephon Logan like going up through middle school and high school? Was he a football player? Did he play other sports? Or was football not even in the picture then?
When I was younger in middle school, I mean, I was a football player, of course. I used to play a lot of football. You know, it was funny because when I was younger, I wasn't even, you know, my brother was the one that got me into football. You know, I was real good when we played, you know, Sandlot and we played on the street and was playing football, touch and tag football, but I never wanted to play organized team football where I was getting tackled. My older brother, he wanted to play, so I kind of followed his footsteps, and here I am today, you know, you know, years later, you know, still playing football. So it wasn't even something that I wanted to do as far as organized team football, but it worked out for me. You know, it's been a dream come true, you know, playing the NFL, playing CFL. So, you know, right now, like I said, I'm just enjoying the game and just giving back all the knowledge that I've learned to these young kids, some of my young teammates that wants to know everything and try to pick my brain a little bit.
Right. So I believe when you were in high school, you know, did you take a 3-year break after high school to go to college? Why did you end up taking that break?
Yeah, I took a 3-year break. And it wasn't even a break. It was, you know, I had gotten in trouble when I was in high school. So it was more of a just trying to find the right place for me to be. You know,
right.
I got in some trouble when I was in high school. So, you know, once I found out the direction and where I wanted to go and where I wanted to lead myself, which direction I wanted to go, you know, I just said, you know what, once you make this choice, don't look back, you know, just keep moving forward and just let everything work itself out, which it did. So, you know, me going to, you know, Miami-Dade Community College and then going to University of South Dakota and doing 4 years there and, you know, holding all the records there and got inducted to the Hall of Fame last year. It, like I said, it's been a blessing for me, and I've just been loving every bit of it.
Love it, man. Love it, love it. What do you have a favorite college moment? You know, one moment, even if it's off the field, that maybe sticks out to you from college.
I would say one of my favorite college moments was. It's funny because my roommate from college, you know, we like best friends now. And he came down this past weekend because I was home for our bye week. And he was joking about when he was starting in college, and I wasn't starting yet. I was still waiting to get my chance to get on the field. And we had lost a game, and he was talking so much trash. He was like, you know, I mean, because me and another teammate was like, oh, man, we not doing good. We not winning, and we talking trash. So my roommate, he just got upset, and he was like, oh, what, y'all can't talk. You know, y'all not even on the field yet. Y'all not even playing. So that right there, it pissed me off. I was so upset. I was ready to fight. and he made that comment. He made that smart remark and that comment. And the only thing I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you just wait and see. I said, you just wait until I get on this field, and I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. Just wait. And that's one moment that I remember that stuck in my mind for a long time.
That's awesome. It seems like definitely something that, like, helped you push forward and That's badass. That's a good story right there. What was your first pro season like? I think you spent that first year in the pros in the CFL, then you ended up moving to Pittsburgh. Did that first season in the CFL like help you mold into a better player? And do you think that like the NFL would benefit if they brought in a league like, you know, the XFL or the AAF that folded? Do you think a league like that would work with younger players?
So my first year in the NFL was 2007. I was with the Dolphins. I was on a practice squad,
Okay.
so I didn't really do much then. I was just on a practice squad. I was hoping to get that chance to get out there on the field. You know, that year was the first year when Ted Ginn was drafted as the 9th overall pick to the Dolphins. So I never got a chance to get
Gotcha.
on the field at that time. But my first full football season was in Canada with the BC Lions and British Columbia. And it's kind of like a blur to me right now, because when I got there, I was so focused on making that team and trying to get back to the NFL, to where it went so fast. And before you know it, that 2008, that season went so fast. Before you know it, it was like the season was over, and my agent called me and said, "Hey, I got two teams right now that want to sign you." And that was Pittsburgh Steelers and the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, of course you're going to choose the Steelers because, you know, they got the most Super Bowls. And I
Right.
just knew I was going to a great organization that's been winning for so long. So, you know, it was something special. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really, like I said, that right now, it's kind of like, it was like a blur because it went so fast. But once I got to Pittsburgh, man, I kind of took off, man. I was kind of like that limelight, you know, like that shining star that everybody kind of was like, "Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Like, where he's coming from? Like, what school did he go to? Where is he from?" And it was, like I said, it was a dream come true for me, and I still remember that day like yesterday.
When you got to Pittsburgh, was there a teammate there, maybe a veteran that maybe pulled you in and taught you the ropes and was a leader for you in the locker room?
You know, when I got there, they moved me from running back to a receiver when I got to Pittsburgh. And the crazy part is, just a little, you know, off the topic just a little bit before I get on what you're saying. I was a running back from little league football when I started all the way until the NFL. Even when I was in Canada and with the BC Lions, I was a running back. I didn't do no receiver, no kick return, no punt return until I got to the NFL. And it was like teaching a baby how to walk again, because they switched my position to a whole nother position. So I had to learn
Right.
how to get a stance. I had to learn how to run routes. I had to learn how to use my hands. I had to learn how to use the head bob. I had to learn how to catch a punt and learn to catch kickoff returns. It was so hard for me my first few years in the NFL, because I was learning a whole new position again. So I just told myself and I prayed. I said, "Man, just lead me in the right direction and just let my talent take over, the God-given talent that you gave me, just let it take over." And that's what he did. So that part was really good. But then when I went to Pittsburgh, I was a receiver, and I didn't say much when I was there because I didn't know anybody. I just knew of everybody, and I've seen them on TV. But just
Right.
listening to some of the guys and some of the experiences and some of the knowledge that they had, Hines Ward was kind of one of the guys that kind of – he explained to us, you know, because Mike Wallace, that was his rookie year. Keenan Lewis, that was his rookie year. And I was there with a lot of vets. So with him, he just kind of told us all the little things of what you should do and the things you shouldn't do. So that kind of helped us, in like that guideline, that fine line that we need to follow so that we didn't get in trouble, how to prepare yourself as a pro, how you, you know, do not do things that you don't do as a pro, you know, how you carry yourself out in public, you know, just stuff like that. And that's what really helped us when we was moving forward.
Looking back at your first year in Pittsburgh, do you have like one game or one moment of a game that you could just share with us that maybe, you know, kind of just stood out for you?
I got a great moment. 2009 was playing against the Carolina Panthers, and the night before, Mike Tomlin, which is a great coach, and I really appreciate him giving me the opportunity to you know, for opening those doors for me to get me out there on the field. And the night before the game, it was the last preseason game, and he gave us this little pep talk and this little speech, and he was talking about, for some of us, this is your last time to showcase your talent out there on the field, because we're not going to be able to keep everybody. So whatever you have left in the tank, whatever you have left in those legs, in your body, make sure you give it all when you're out there on the field, because this is going to be your last opportunity to show us what you can do. And I remember after he said that, his final little thing he used to always say was like that I think it's the Dos Equis commercial. He always say, "Stay thirsty, my friends." And from that night on, I remember the next day when we came out for that game, that 7:30 game we had against Carolina Panthers on that night, the defense went out, had a, you know, it was time to, it was punt return. And I remember going out there on that field, and I ran back a 65-yard punt return for a touchdown. The opening punt return of the game, came to the sideline, and Mike Tomlin was like, first thing he said was, he told the special teams coach, he said, "That's our returner right there. You're done for the night. You can take your shoulder pads off." And I bust out in tears, and my boy Roy Lewis was standing there. He was like, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" And it was so exciting, and I didn't know what to do, because he said in front of the whole team right after the, as soon as I came off and high-fived everybody, he said, "That's our returner right there." He said, "Hey, you ain't got to do nothing else tonight. You can take your shoulder pads off." And I remember that like it was just like it just happened just now.
That's awesome. That's an awesome story. That first year. Besides that, you know, what was it like? You know, I believe you ended up breaking, like, some records, the Steelers' single-season record for return yards. What was it like? You know, I believe you ended up getting released. What was that news like? Was it like, all right, so now what's next? Am I going to go to the CFL? Is another NFL team going to sign me? What was that moment like? I'm sure it must have been tough for you after having a hell of a year, you know, in 2009. So what was that like?
It was very, you know, it was hard on me. It brought tears to my eyes. And like I tell any female or any person, if you want to see a football player cry, you come to a football game and you watch him. If they lose the game, you'll see him shed some tears. And, you know, like you said, I had to set the single record. I had set two records that year. I had set the most, the return record, and I had broke Randy Wells' average per return record, yards per return.
Wow.
And, you know, I just felt good about that season. I mean, you know, our special teams weren't that good the years before. So, I mean, when Randy Well left. So, me coming in, I knew, like, you know, just, you know, like I said, I was just so focused, and I was just going balls to the wall, just doing everything I needed to do to get us positive yards. And then when that next year came, they drafted Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. And my first thought was, they're not going to keep me. I say, because both of those guys do returns. I'm a running back, just playing returner. So I knew right then, I was like, man, I hope they don't do this to me. And I've given them everything I had when I was out there on that field. But it still worked out in my favor, because they released me that next year. I got picked up that same year, which was the next day. I was the first one out of the guys that got cut. I got picked up the next day at 12 o'clock and went to Detroit, came to Detroit. My first year in Detroit, I finished second on the Pro Bowl ballot behind Devin Hester, which my first year when I was with Pittsburgh Steelers, I finished second on the Pro Bowl ballot behind Joshua Cribbs. So my first 2 years was really, you know, I mean, I have other years that was just as good, but those first 2 years, I finished on the Pro Bowl ballot 2 years in a row, second. So that right there speaks for itself, you know, for what people know about me.
For sure. So that first year in Detroit, I believe you were under Jim Schwartz the entire time you were in Detroit. Do you have a story you can share with us about him? Because, like, us Lions fans, you know, we enjoyed him when he was in Detroit. Seemed like a guy that was, like, you know, he was a hungry coach, and that's kind of what we enjoy. And he was a fiery coach for sure. Do you have any, like, locker room stories that you could share with us?
That was so long. I can't even remember because, you know, it's kind of tough to remember a lot of stuff when you're kind of upset because I was kind of upset because I was playing a position that I didn't want to play. So what made it easy for me and what made me keep loving the game of football and keep going with my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, but also some of my teammates. You know, I was there with Nate Burleson, which me and him are still good friends. We still talk. I still go to his house, chill with him and his family and his wife and everything, his family. And, you know, I had Calvin. Titus Young was there. I had some of those guys to help me through, you know, just going through, you know, not playing on offense, not getting recognized like I should. So it was tough, you know. I mean, Jim was I'm not going to say he was the greatest head coach, but he was a good defensive coach, a good defensive coordinator.
Right.
As a head coach, he was still kind of learning all the nuances about it and all the rights and wrongs, all the do's and don'ts and how to learn as players and how to coach as and be a head coach. But as a defensive coordinator, well, I think he's one of the best in the league.
Hell yeah. So you mentioned Calvin and Nate. So what was, you know, I got to ask, what was it like playing with two, you know, Calvin, one of the best receivers of all time, and Nate Burleson, one of the smartest receivers of all time. What was it like playing with those two guys?
I mean, they made it a lot easier for me when I was out there on the field. I mean, if you watch a guy like Calvin that was 6'5", 235 pounds, run a comeback route like he was 5'10", you wouldn't believe it. I mean, it was kind of amazing. It was amazing to watch a guy that was that tall, that was that big, and that can get in and out of his cut so fast, like he was, you know, like he was my height, like he was 5'6", 5'7". To see that was very impressive. And that don't come about every day. It's hard to find right now. You know, you got a receiver that's 6'1" and still kind of struggling to run a comeback route. And I watched him run a 12-yard comeback, get in and out that break, come back downhill, catch the ball with enough time to catch the ball and get upfield. That was probably the most impressive route I've seen him run, and he didn't drop the ball. You know, his hands, he has some big hands. He just smothers that ball. Nate was more of the finesse guy. He always, you know, hey, when you run a route, run it like, you know, finesse it a little bit. Like, put your own little sauce on it. As you already know how Nate is, he was always one of them real sharp dressers. So when he put his clothes on, you know, he was always real sharp. And some people don't know this, but when he used to dress, he always wore his suits according to the teams we was playing. So if we played the Cowboys, he would wear a blue and white, no, the blue and gray pinstripe. You know, when we played like Arizona, he had on a white and red suit. Like he was different when it came to certain things. So playing with both of those guys, it made it a lot easy for me. You know, just having them on the field, listening to them, you know, how they prepare themselves in practice, how they go about them, how they go about their business in practice, even on and off the field. We hang out outside of football. It was all love. It was never just talking about football all the time. We would talk about family.
Right.
We would talk about some of the stuff we want to do. You know, it wasn't about like how much money you had or what cars you drive. It was never about none of that. It was always about family, having a good time with your boys, and building those relationships and those memories.
Hell yeah. So before I move on, we got a few more minutes here. I got a buddy who's calling in. He writes here at Pro Sports Extra. His name's Nate. Nate, you there?
Yo, Trev.
Hey, Nate, can you hear me? Yo, you got me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I got
you. All right, all you, man.
Hey, Stefan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing, Nate?
Good. I think Trev touched on something regarding your Lions and Steelers career just a couple of minutes ago. What was your favorite moment being in the NFL? with either Pittsburgh or Detroit?
I think my favorite moment, was, you know, living my dream and my dream coming true. You know, when I was younger, I always wanted to be an NFL player. I just didn't know, you know, if that – I always knew, like, my size would play a big factor, a big part in it, because everything is – they want, you know, certain style and certain style guys as far as body type. So I didn't know – I knew that they was going to judge me, but I always told people, and I tell the guys even in Canada right now, for you to be little, you got to have that it. You got to have that wow factor about you. When you're smaller, you're either going to be really fast, really quick, or you're going to have all of it, or you have none of it. So, like, those are, like, my favorite moments when I'm out there on the field. For me to be 38 years old, when I talk to my teammates, I tell them right now, at 38, I can still run a 4.44 at 38.
Wow.
And I tell it, if anybody feel like, and I tell my teammates, you can ask them, that's how much I believe in myself and I know I can do it. I tell any one of them, if they want to line up in the 40 right now, let's line up and I'm going to give you everything I just told you. So just having that, you know, those are the best memories for me, just giving back to these young boys and just being out there on the field with them every day. That's what keeps me going. That's what drives me every day, just to watch a young guy grow up to be a great football player and I can help him. That's the most memorable moments, and that's the great part about playing football.
What about – I seen you played in the Canadian Football League and stuff for a few years. What was it like being in the Canadian Football League, and what makes it so different than being in a National Football League?
One difference everybody already know is the money difference, of course. You know what I'm saying? But – if you're going to play the sport, you're not playing for just money. You're playing for the legacy. You're playing for the memories. You're playing for, you know, the guy next to you. You're playing for family. It's so much other things you're playing for besides money. Playing in the CFL, of course, you can make a good living up here, you know, playing football. You make good money. You know, it's good. The difference is, of course, we all know, is the field. It's longer. It's wider. We got a few rule changes. The time clock is different. We got 12 guys on the field instead of 11. Four or five guys can go in motion instead of NFL one. A few rules in the special teams as far as in the kicking game. You know, you got single points. If you kick, you know, you can give up a point. You got kick back, kick out, you know, kick in. You know, it's a couple of different rules, but I always tell people this, and if you have anybody that want to come up here and play in Canada, this is one thing I'm going to tell you. A lot of guys that have come up here that was on national championship teams that played at some of the best Division I schools come up here and still don't make it at this level of football because they come up here with the wrong mindset, thinking that, oh, I'm going to come up here in Canada, I'm going to just go ahead and do my thing, and then I'm going to get back to the NFL. And they don't even get a chance to get on the field because they wasn't good enough. That's
all
one
right.
thing
that
I do.
That makes it pretty insightful there, Stefan. Last question, what is your future plans looking like? Are you considering maybe heading into coaching?
My future plans, I mean, I wanted to be a football counselor, you know, just for the guys that's coming up that more of a, like, for players that have family issues, money issues, baby mama issues, friends, like I can touch on so many different topics, whether it's getting in trouble, you know, all that kind of stuff, whether they're having problems with football, learning plays. And also that's one part that I want to do because I'm really good at that. A lot of guys come to me in practice, and I have one-on-one conversations with a lot of my teammates not because I'm older, because they listen to me and they trust me and they understand. And I have a lot of passion when I'm talking to them, and they understand what I'm saying. But I also want to be a coach. Like I'm when I'm out there now, I'm coaching. you know, playing running back, playing receiver. I played gunner on punt, punt return. You know, I can help you, you know, be good at something other than, you know, whatever other position you might want to play. Don't think that I just was, that I don't know what I'm talking about. And I think that's one thing that helps me playing different, multiple positions. I'm able to give back to these young kids, and I'm able to coach them while I'm playing football, teaching them, hey, don't do this. Hey, if you're going to block a guy, make sure you shield them off. You don't have to make a big hit. Hey, if you lose this guy, you beat, and you know you're not going to be able to catch him, just turn, leave him as a returner. He can make a guy miss. You go find work. Make it, create another lane, you know, instead of being in the way, because I always say, if I make him miss, I got to make you miss because you will be in the way as well. So it's so many other things that I want to do that I'm working on now. You know, knowing it's my last year playing football, I'm just trying to open up different doors for me. So when I'm done, that next door, when it opens, I'm going to walk right in, and I already got my bags and ready to go.
That's real. That was some really good answers there. I think I'm good, Trev.
Hey, Nate, I appreciate you jumping on and taking some time to ask a couple questions. I'm going to wrap this up, guys. We got like 3 more minutes here of recording time. So, guys, thank you, Nate, for jumping on. Stefan, one more question. Do you have any like any prank stories from the NFL? I know I've heard like Pat McAfee talk about some pranks that he's been involved in, you know, during the off season. Even was there any pranks that you were involved in during your time in the NFL or even the CFL?
Yeah, it was one prank that guys did. Actually, it was recently. This was probably one of the funniest ones I've seen. Well, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the Tinder app. I'm sure a lot of people. I don't have that app. I didn't know what the app was. I had it once so I can learn what it was, and I saw what it was, and I was like, this app is not for me. I don't really like the dating apps anyway. So we was having our rookie show. So as we was having the rookie show, one of the guys on the team made a fake page, and he put this fine girl up there. I'm talking about she was real fine. Just out of your league anyway, so I don't even know why you even tried to talk to her. No way. She was way out of all of our leagues. So I'm like, so the guy put the picture up on the screen, and he was like, hey, for you guys, for those guys that have Tinder, y'all better be careful because you never know what might goes up on this screen. So my teammate put the girl's picture up on the screen. So all the guys in the room is like, whoa. So I'm sitting there laughing because I'm like, I don't have that. So I'm not even worried about it. So you see guys
right
around. They're like, oh, no. So to make a long story short, the guy put the picture up on the screen. So what he did was he said, hey, I'm going to ask everybody one time if you know – this woman, or you've been talking to this woman, let me know. You better tell the truth now. So nobody raised their hand. So everybody like, nah, not me. What he did was they screenshotted all the conversations from the teammates that was talking to this girl, and it was about 10 of them. And what they did was put their conversations up on the screen so you could see what guys were saying. Oh, that was the funniest. That was the funniest thing I ever seen, because guys were saying some real, real crazy stuff. I was like, whoa, this is how y'all talk outside of football, huh? Oh, I see what's going on. But that was one of the funniest pranks that I've been around, and that was really funny to me. I really liked that one.
That, I think that's the funniest one I've heard so far, man. I appreciate you, dude. I thank you so much for hopping on, bro.
Hey, man,
what
I appreciate it, man. Anytime, man.
Yeah, where can everybody find you at on social media, brother?
Well, I'm not on Twitter as much, but a lot of people can find me on Instagram, StephonLogan_0. I got my everybody know my hashtag 8 is only a number. I just had some shirts made to my teammates. And I've had people DMing me about the shirts because I told my teammates to make sure they take a picture of the shirt, screenshot it, or whatever, send it to me, hashtag me.
Boom.
And I've had a dozen of people, hey, man, how can I get a shirt? How can I get a shirt? You know, how can I get a shirt? Because everybody look at it, like it's positive. You know, age is only a number, not to, like, like that R. Kelly stuff, you know, because you get jokes and stuff. Not about nothing like that. Age is only the number when it comes to when you put your mind to something. It don't matter how old you is. You can also be a millionaire.
For sure.
You can be a millionaire at 10 years old. Don't worry about how old you are. Just worry about how productive you are in life. That's my thing. If you want to find me, Stephon Logan _0, age is only a number. That's my hashtag. Agent Zero is another one. Hey, man, I appreciate having me on the show, man. Best of luck, and I appreciate this, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man, and I definitely look forward to having you on sometime down the road. I think this is like – this got to be the third time so far, so, you know, I have a great time finishing up this final season in the CFL. I can't wait to see what you do afterwards, man, and I'm sure I'll be following you along the way and vice versa. Guys, be sure to go give this a 5-star on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube. This will be uploaded everywhere. Stephon, once again, thank you. I appreciate it, guys. And until next time, peace.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate that.
I appreciate you, bro.